This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number three. Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, Matt Brown and Mike Somich, and it is over. 5 hours, basically 5.5 hours of the highest level tennis you will ever see. And Carlos Alcaraz takes it in a tiebreak in set number five. Mike, we were talking about it. Jannik Sinner is going to go look at himself in the mirror. He's going to say, by the way, that was an hour and 48 minutes ago now that he had the match points.
Yep. Yeah.
And he's going to look and say, I had three match points. I blew it. And then I let this guy do what he does, grinded him down. And after 5.5 hours, instant classic, I will say.
Oh, easily instant classic. And you mentioned best final ever in the French Open. I would agree that we got a tweet tied for the greatest final ever in the 2022 Australian Open. I remember that one as well. Was a phenomenal final. So that's another one that I think at least goes in toward the record books. But I can't remember a situation where you have, you know, down 0-2, three tie breaks in the five sets and able to come all the way back and get the job done. Congratulations here to Carlos Alcaraz. Just an awesome match that we just got treated to.
Seriously, you look at this and we'll say it again. These guys are in their early 20s. We've got at least 6 or 7 years of this in front of us and maybe longer. Health, of course.
Yep.
We'll need to play. But, you know, athletes now are just, they know how to take care of themselves better than the generation before. You know? I mean, like, you there's all these different ways to do it as well, too. I bet you he's going straight home and putting those, like, leg things on.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You know, those, like, little blow-up leg things. He's going to get in his hyperbaric chamber. Cry.
Like
both of them are gonna
not
cry.
As much as Sinner, but
one,
yeah.
one tears of joy, one
I mean they just
one actual real tears.
They showed Sinner on the broadcast a minute ago, yeah. Just staring out into space.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can't even imagine what's going through his head right now.
The worst thing about this match is that someone had to lose.
Yeah, like someone had to lose. Yeah. And for Sinner to lose after being up 2-0 and having three championship points up 5-3 in the fourth set, just a brutal way to go down.
You can tell that when something like this gets going, that sports fans and sports just takes over, because I've had at least half a dozen come through where I'm not a tennis fan, but
yeah, exactly.
Not a big tennis guy, but I don't usually watch tennis, but you know, and so like you get something like this and it's just bringing the whole sports world together.
Well, the thing is, like, we have both very curated Twitter timelines, yeah. Right? And it's a lot of NFL. I've got a lot of hockey. Right, and I look through it, and it's almost all tennis right now.
Do you follow a lot of the horses that you bet on Twitter?
They don't have Twitter accounts.
They don't have Twitter accounts.
So I have a lot of horse racing news people and things like that, but
you don't follow Sovereignty, is what you're saying on Twitter?
No, he doesn't. No. Well, he should have an account, but he doesn't. Maybe we could have found out. But like, literally every tweet in my timeline is about the French Open and what just happened. It's just a great day for tennis. The fact that this stretched out so that everyone could watch it as well, I think, is a huge positive.
We gotta start. This is it. We start making social media accounts for the horses.
We start up a company that does social for horses.
Yes,
just for horses.
This is it, and we make it kind of funny.
Yeah,
but we also like take it a little. Oh, this is so good. Don't steal our idea.
That actually would be a good idea. Yeah. You just need to hire people at tracks, like videotape the workouts, get footage of the horse in the stall. It's not a terrible idea.
Yeah,
see, not a bad idea by you, Matt. Yeah. Too bad you said it on national TV.
Sam Burns at 17 under. He is 7 under through 14 holes. Kevin Yu is also at 17 under. He is 4 under, but only through 6 holes. So Sam Burns, obviously, is going to run out of holes, I think, in this one to get it done. But who knows? Maybe he just strings together a whole bunch of birdies down the stretch.
It's funny you mentioned that. Sam Burns, through 5 holes on the back 9, he has a 13.
Oh, that's really good.
He's got, back 9, birdie, 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 birdie.
Yeah, that's really.
13 through 5. That's a mini golf score.
Yeah, that's really, really good.
13
yeah.
through 5 holes on the back.
Cam Young, 4 under through 9, but he is 2 back. Shane Lowry, 4 under through 14, as is Nick Taylor, and they currently sit 3 back, as does Cameron Champ, Victor Perez, Benny Ahn, and Matt McCarty, Lee Hodges, Mateo Montecero, and Ryan Fox. So they are all sitting. That is 12 guys that are at 14 under or better. So while Sam Burns certainly is your favorite here in this,
wouldn't you be your favorite just because of the number of holes left?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, as far as, like, I should say this, Burns more pedigreed of these guys and whatever. Like, okay. He's the most talented guy at the top, and certainly that is attractive. Yeah. However, they're just so many trailers with so many more holes than
exactly.
he has.
Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, Sam Burns is one of the best birdie makers there is on tour, but it looks like this back nine is gettable.
Yes.
I'm not going to say that they're going to do anything close to what he has done, but but it looks like this back nine is gettable. So I think he's going to have to – he's definitely going to have to birdie 18. You can't give up anything on 18. So he'll have to get a birdie there, and at the very least, just scrap together 15, 16, 17 or whatever. I mean, if he's in the clubhouse at 18 – that at least gives people something to think about.
Yes, yeah. I think Burns is shooting for 19. That's where you want to be if you're Sam Burns. Because if Kevin Yu doesn't go low, all the 15s then have to go 4 under on the back or whatever their remaining holes are, which is a tall task.
Yeah, yeah. This is an interesting tournament. Like we said, we knew that it was going to be a lot of variance. That was just one of the things that we were expecting in this tournament with the scoring conditions, and here they are. I mean, like, you know, again, winning score is going to be 18, 19, maybe even 20 when it's all said and done. Up there in Canada. So RBC Canadian over at TPC Toronto, where we sit right now there on that one. Over in Major League Baseball, 2-1, the Twins have tacked on a couple runs there in the bottom of the second inning. Joe Ryan, 2 1/3, 4 Ks for him already through 2 1/3.
Yeah, but he struck out the side in the first. So the next inning in the third, just 1K, 2 walks, 2 hits in that time. There's runners on first and second here for the Blue Jays. Got Twins minus a half run, first five. Would really like to get out of this half inning here with the 2-1 lead. We'll see if he's able to do it.
The Royals have tied it up with the White Sox as they tack on 2 in the top of the fourth. They're actually still hitting as we speak. Jack Caglione, 2 for 2 there for the Royals in this one. So a guy that a super, super, super hyped prospect. If you guys, talking about the College World Series, you know, as this is coming up for us, which, by the way, should mention, we'll be up there in Omaha. VSiN will have 2 different shows originating from up there. You and I will actually be on Wednesday evening taking the place of Mitch and Paul as they travel up to Omaha. But if you want to hang out with the VSiN crew, they'll be up there taking in all the stuff going on in Omaha. You and I have talked about it several different times. Very underrated sporting event. If you guys are kind of doing the whole bucket list thing and all of that, it's a good time.
It's a blast.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Everyone's into it. Reasonable ticket cost to get into the stadium. You get to see a bunch of different games. It's just a very, very fun place. And Omaha treats it very well. The RV world is the best spot of the College World Series because a lot of people take RVs up to Omaha and you're able to just walk through these tailgates. It's just an absolute, absolute blast. And I've been hearing rumors it's the Follow the Money show of the year on Wednesday with the Ready, Set, Bet takeover happening.
Yeah. Just a reminder, though, for if you are going to go, no mobile betting in Nebraska.
Correct.
So make your bets before you go.
You can drive to Iowa, though.
You can drive it. You can cross the border, and then also there are physical casinos. But, like, you no online, no mobile. So just keep that in mind if you're going to, like, stand outside the stadium. Oh, I'm going to fire. Well, no,
nope,
you're not.
You're not.
You're not.
That is incorrect.
Yeah, you are not going to fire there on that one. The Padres finally get on the board against the Brewers. Manny Machado, solo shot in the seventh inning. Mike, there have been 3 hits in this game. 2 by the Padres, 1 by the Brewers, and that is it.
It's crazy. I mean, you mentioned the White Sox game. The White Sox have 1 hit and 2 runs. Just that Vargas home run. That was the only 2 runs. College World Series update here. Top of the ninth, Miami-Louisville. Louisville up 3-2. Miami runners on first and second. This is game 3. So winner goes to the College World Series here in this spot. Miami looking for a clutch hit to try and extend their season past this top of the ninth inning right now. Again, 2 on, 1 out, 2-2 count to the batter here in a deciding game 3 between Miami and Louisville.
The Tigers added 2 more in the fifth inning on the Cubs, and so they lead 4-0 there in that one. Jack Flaherty has been really, really good. Now, his pitch count is up there because he's walked 3 guys, but he's also struck out 8, so that'll get your pitch count way on up there. So he's 5 in with 85 pitches. Yeah. So they might let him go one more.
And it's Tucker Suzuki, Crow Armstrong that's coming up as well. So middle of the order
maybe
here.
They won't.
When you're a little stressed. And again, Crow Armstrong, 1 for 2, did have a runner thrown out at the plate on his single as well.
So they might.
It might be it.
Yeah, that might be it for him. I don't know if they want to get him back out. It's because this is the thing that I think some of the managers do that is annoying to me, where it's if you're going to have the quick hook anyway, let's say Tucker flares one into left field. He doesn't even hit it hard.
Yeah.
Then they're going to pull him anyway.
Yes.
You know, and like, it, so...
So if you're going to do the point
quick,
at that point,
if you're going to do the quick hook, even if they don't do anything necessarily, I mean, like a broken bat to left, and they would still pull. They're going to pull him.
Yep.
Just don't run him out there in the first place.
Yeah, there's no point in sending him out if you're going to take him out after a hit. Just send out the reliever to start the inning, give him the full time to warm up, and take it from there.
Yeah, but this, but all these managers do that. It's like one of the most tilting things that they do. It's like, you know, oh yeah, we'll send him back out there. He's a flare, and then oh well, he's got to go now. It's like, no man, that was hit like 48 miles an hour off the bat. Like, well, why?
The seeing eye single shouldn't be the reason you take somebody out.
But this, it happens. It literally happens like every day.
Flaherty is going to start the top of the sixth here against Tucker, Suzuki, and Crow Armstrong.
There we go. We got a rain delay in Cincinnati. That game's 2-2 in the top of the sixth. Also, still rain delay there, Texas and Washington as well. So that part of the country experiencing some weather. So if you're betting, go in and check out the weather again for the rest of the day and all that. We say it does play into the handicap because these games start and then get delayed. Sometimes the starters come out, and a lot of your handicap is based around a starter. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, both starters already out of this game. I'm sorry, Gallen's still in for Arizona. He will not be once the rain delay ends. Yeah. Singer did get pulled after five. Both gave up two earned in five innings. We had a game earlier in this series, actually, get postponed and moved to the next end in the following day. We'll see if it happens again here in Cincinnati.
Guys, $199 will get you a year of VSiN Pro, every single thing we do. And if you use the promo code BOOK, we're going to throw in Josh Applebaum's new book, NFL Sharp Betting Playbook. You get all those best bets emailed to you. You get the betting splits page, the video feeds, and every single one of the guides for the tent pole events in the beginning of each season. One of the best things we do, highest value maybe, that a pro subscription gets you. So VSiN.com/subscribe, $199 for an entire year.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somage on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Apparently, we don't have it turned on here on the Twitter machine. Matt Brown, Mike Somage. This is a really, really good speech given by Sinner, I guess, in the loss, which, you know, right there in the moment.
I can't imagine the emotions.
Hardest thing ever to try to find the words, but I guess he just gave a awesome, awesome, awesome speech there at the end.
And from your ridiculous gambling numbers of the year, Sinner -50,000 when he had triple championship point live on DraftKings. You could have gotten Carlos Alcaraz at +6,500 in play when he was down 5-3 against triple championship point.
That is, you know, you don't bet that.
No. No, I mean, like, congratulations if you have.
It is very, very hard to hold off any match point, much less three of them.
Correct. Yeah, you know? And you're never betting Sinner -50,000.
Yeah.
No one's going there and clicking in for 50,000 to win 1,000 or whatever, right? But maybe there's someone out there bet $2 on Alcaraz, and they're sitting there happily with their $130,
hey,
right?
If you did.
Yeah, I would love to see.
Send us the ticket.
If you think you've got the biggest Alcaraz live ticket, I want to see it.
Yeah.
Who's got the biggest one?
Yeah, send it to us.
Tweet it at VSiN Live, at Samabomb18, at Matt Brown M2. Let's see it.
Hopefully no one, just, you know, phrasing over here, you know, like, this is, but phrasing. But yes, we'll.
What did I phrase there?
We'll move on and talk about it on the break. We'll get to always draft season here on the show. NFL receiving leader version of this. And this is we've done this last couple of years where we go into these future markets. We draft, we go back, we look at what we had on our teams at the end of the season, where last year I just spanked you. Up and down.
Okay.
I just spanked you up and down.
You had Chase and you had Burrow because you had the first pick in both of those drafts. And that just became unable to spank you up and down
these drafts. It was so great to go back.
I mean, I had the Eagles. I don't know if we're talking spank.
It was so good.
I would chill out a little bit.
But
here.
I'm going super chalk here. I get first pick in this one. We rotate as to who goes first. And so,
yes, but we don't select what order of these drafts we do. And it feels odd that now you are getting first pick in the receiving yards after getting first pick in the passing yards, when clearly you're going to take your boys.
Yeah. Jamar Chase for me. This is going to be very easy at 6-1. I already took Burrow and have talked about Burrow as your passing yardage leader for the NFL. And I think that obviously Chase is going to be the biggest recipient of all of that. And look, it's a team that has a really good offense that is going to move the ball, but has a bad defense, is going to probably be playing either either chase mode a lot or just fighting to stay close to a lot of these teams because of the defense and what they're letting him down. I mean, Henderson's still on the team. Who knows if he's going to be there? I mean, he might be gone too by the time that this is all said and done. He doesn't like his contract situation. So just there's a lot going on there with that. So Jamar Chase, I think the short shot, but short shot rightfully so.
Yeah, short shot for a reason.
Yeah.
We saw this last year, and you mentioned like the defense, obviously a problem for the Bengals if you're taking them to win the division, win the AFC. A positive if you like Burrow and Chase stat numbers, right? So Chase clearly should be the number one pick here, plus 600. I cannot pick shame you in this spot. Give me Justin Jefferson, plus 800. I think he's the best wide receiver in football. Don't come at me with Jamar Chase stuff. I think Justin Jefferson's better. Darnold throwing to him last year. You got J.J. McCarthy this year. We'll see how good J.J. McCarthy is. Obviously, that's a big part of this, but there's no way I'm letting Justin Jefferson get back to you.
Question in this one. Do you wish – I know you – we're doing this strategically, right? It's a draft, and so you didn't want to let me get him. However, with the a little bit of uncertainty at the quarterback position, do you wish the number was a tad bit bigger? Like, I mean, or do you think that it's right?
I mean, honestly, I think it's kind of fair.
Okay.
Because he's the third choice on the board, and at 8-1, I mean, what – how high could he possibly be? We've seen him excel with any quarterback.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't, if he's at 10-1, he's going to get bet immediately. So, I think 8-1 is right around the highest expected number that you could get in this market. For
I mean,
someone
I guess
like
we
Justin
could
Jefferson.
Say if there was a proven quarterback there, he probably would be like co-favorite with Chase.
I bet he'd be the favorite if it was Cousins. Mm-hmm. Because we've seen them have ridiculous seasons before.
And with or even if Darnold was back.
Or even Darnold, yeah. And with Addison developing, it makes it easier for Jefferson to be able to get the coverage you're looking for. So I Justin Jefferson, plus 800. And then give me my boy, Brian Thomas Jr., plus 1,200.
Okay.
Love me some Brian Thomas Jr. You look at his targets last year, just kept going up and up and up and up. There's a little bit more depth at the wide receiver position for Jacksonville this year. I think Brian Thomas Jr. has a monster second season. Already a star. I think the second season is going to be huge. Brian Thomas Jr., plus 1,200, second pick.
Give me the Puka Nacua here at 11-1, and I'm pretty high on this Rams team. I think that they are going to be better. Stafford is, we saw last year, like, as long as he's healthy and feeling good, he can still sling it and still has a ton of talent. You bring Devontae Adams in, should help out Puka Nacua, you would think, a lot there in this one. And so I like what they did in the offseason as well. So give me Puka Nacua at 11-1. I think this could be a really, really interesting scenario where Devontae Adams has to kind of slide into the number two role and understand that he's the number two there. But look, man, you're staring at Matthew Stafford in the huddle. I mean, this dude's been there, done that, been around a long time. I think that is going to work out. I think, and again, perfect conditions. They play in the dome. The whole nine yards. Like, everything to love about Puka Nacua.
Yeah, I don't hate it. The one problem with the Rams, guys, they just don't play at the same pace as some of these other offenses. You don't necessarily get the opportunity, right? It's the same reason Kyren Williams was a little bit longer on the rushing side. You don't see the opportunities and the overall points put up by these offenses in the Rams. But, I think Nacua has an opportunity to be top five, top three in this list, so I don't hate the pick.
Yeah, I guess I'll go CeeDee Lamb here. It's another one of those deals where I don't love the pick, but you do just know the opportunity and what he brings to the table. The other thing, too, you're going to get two games, maybe three games a year with CeeDee Lamb where he goes for 160, 170. You know, like, he has those just games where he goes absolutely nuclear. So that really helps in a market like this as well. And so for me, and I think the Cowboys are going to be middling. And so maybe they're trailing. Maybe we're looking at kind of a Burrow situation where he's getting a lot more opportunity just given the fact of where the team is as a whole.
Yeah, they also have no run game. So, that you know, if you want to play Lamb, if you want to play Dak in the passing yards, I think they make sense.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to throw the football to be successful there. Give me Ladd McConkey, 35-1. This is an opportunity play here.
There you go.
I love Ladd McConkey. I felt like he was underpriced all of last year. He got a ton of looks. I think you're just going to see him develop even more. He's a phenomenal possession receiver, but also very good against zone, which I think makes a big difference here when you're looking at a team that is going to run the football, but I think going to be much better and be able to throw it too. So I'll take Ladd McConkey at a big price, 35-1. Yep. And now it's tough. I don't really want Collins or Neighbors, so I'm not going to take them off the board. I don't see Tyreek Hill winning this. Give me Amon-Ra St. Brown, 20-1. Detroit's offense, I think, still going to be very, very good. I do think Amon-Ra, the one who benefits the most from Johnson leaving that offense, though, because if you look at who Goff has the biggest connection with, it's Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think he's the one who still consistently gets the ball. Feels like if you look at Jameson Williams, if you look at the tight end position, those are scheme open type of plays versus Amon-Ra is a skill open type of guy. So I'll take Amon-Ra 20-1.
So here's where we get to the point where I say, I would bet Chase, I would bet Nacua, I would bet Lamb, I would bet Jefferson, I would bet Thomas. I think all of those make sense or something like that. I'm going to have to do two more picks because that's how this draft works, but I'm not going to love either one of these. Like, and it's specifically at the number. So Nico Collins will be my pick. It's at 750. That said, I would need like Nacua-ish number. I'd need like 11-12 before I would really consider betting Nico Collins. And the reason is because there's no one around him. Like, I mean, Mechie's the two, maybe Christian Kirk is the two or something, but like Christian Kirk, we already seen. I mean, he just can't cut it as a two. I mean, he's not, definitely not one, can't really be a two. He's more of a three. So I do wonder how much Collins is just going to get bracketed and how much that there's going to be, you know, just trying to remove him from the game. So again, I don't love the price. I wish the price was longer on Collins, even though the opportunity of him being the very clear cut number one receiver there is there.
Yeah, I think Nico Collins is a little interesting. I like this Houston team a lot more this year than I did last year. This change in offensive coordinator, I think, is going to make a big difference long-term here for what we see in C.J. Stroud's third year versus what we saw in the second year. You're not going to see as many first-down runs. You're going to see them be more aggressive. I think that all plays toward Nico Collins. Again, it's leading the league. That's the problem. It's like, can you get to that number? I'm not sure Nico has it in him. I also have some injury concerns with Nico Collins, although you can never project injuries in these
players. Yeah, you threw a bomb in there, so I will throw a bomb in there as well. And I'll just go Terry McLaurin at 40-1. You had your sights set on somebody else?
Yeah, I was eyeing somebody.
I don't think it's possible, but you know, if you get that year two leap there from Daniels, there are other options in that offense where he might be able to have a monster season. So I'll go McLaurin at 40-1.
Yeah, it's someone I don't think, again, a long shot here. To Matt's point, I'm probably stop betting this at Chase, Jefferson, and Thomas Jr.
Yeah.
No one else probably makes a ticket for me. If I want to take a bomb, I'm really interested in Jackson Smith and Jigba this year.
Okay.
30-1. You got Sam Darnold, the quarterback. He's going to push the ball more than what we saw. The quarterback push the ball last year down the field. And he is the guy now with DK Metcalf gone too. So I think Smith and Jigba becomes a lot more interesting here. I'll take him 30-1 to lead the league.
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting market. There'll be somebody come out of nowhere, like there always is. But
did you consider Bowers?
If I'm betting
40-1,
it's interesting, but you know, there's just no way.
I know, but it is. It would have been good content.
Yeah, it would have been good. We're gonna bet the cycle when we come back here. Ready, set, bet.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, Matt Brown and Mike Somich. Still just the single run Padres and the Brewers heading to the ninth inning. Manny Machado, a solo homer there. Both teams with just three hits, and we will get this thing settled here shortly. The battle of the desk. I mean, I feel like I won. Because you get Skeens hold the Phillies to two hits, and it's, they can't score any runs, man. They can't score any runs.
This is the hole.
What's going on?
Two ERA and he's 4-6.
Come on, man.
You're like, why aren't the Pirates producing runs today? And Skeens is starting.
We're sitting here. The start has lowered his ERA to 1.89. On the season,
and he's gonna be seven innings,
two hits, one walk, seven Ks.
How about that first?
Oh, the run was unearned.
How about that first five under?
The run was unearned.
Yeah, they've got an error too.
Oh my gosh!
The funny part is now, who would you like if you got -125 on the Pirates or +105 on the Phillies? One through seven.
Now you'll take the plus money.
Yeah. I wonder what the in game is.
Oh my gosh. Now I'll take the plus
money. I wonder if the algorithm figured out that Skeens probably out of the game now.
Yeah, he's 93 pitches.
Yeah, now the Phillies are -125.
Yeah. As they should be. Yeah. 93 pitches for Skeens. They're not going to run him out there and make him throw 110 pitches.
11 games right now in action. We just had our first game eclipse the six-run mark. Twins Blue Jays now 3-3 in the bottom of the fourth. That's the highest scoring game. There is no other game with five runs of the 11 games currently in action.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Low-scoring day out there in Major League Baseball for sure. Dodgers still holding that 4-0 lead there on the Cardinals. As you mentioned, 3-3 there, Twins and Blue Jays 2-2 still. Royals and White Sox, Astros and Guardians. So the Astros got two across, so it is actually 2-2 there. Now, and that one, that's in the bottom of the seventh if you want to get involved. Tigers still holding the 4-0 lead on the Cubs and still 2-2 Diamondbacks and Reds.
And so, they are playing again.
Yes, and they are back going.
Diamondbacks and Reds are playing, and Nationals and Rangers, which was a rain delay for a while back, are starting action now as well. They're top of the second right now, 0-0.
You know, you weren't here for the whole Aaron Rodgers news, so we'll have to talk about that in the
No, I wasn't.
We'll have to talk about that in the next segment, because I know you love you some Aaron Rodgers talk.
I just hit my single.
News. Oh, did you?
The game just started. Neil homered.
Well, then let's get into it then. yeah, let's go ahead and get into this thing. We go in. We make a single, double, triple, and a home run bet. Not actually that bad. Those are just the level of difficulty of the bet, single being the easiest, and of course, home run being the longest. I have the Orioles minus 125 on the money line here later on this evening versus the A's. The A's might actually have taken over being the second worst team in all of baseball now at this point. Cannot do anything on a regular basis there. It is Anna's playing up in Sacramento. Go ahead and give me a team that is swinging the bat much, much better. Here over the last week and a half, 2 weeks in this Orioles squad. So I have the Orioles minus 125 as my single.
Yeah, seems like the O's bats have woken up a little bit. We'll see if they're able to keep it up. Single for me, a pick I gave out earlier in the day, McNeil RBI, one plus RBI plus 115. Guess what? He just did a home run. So that one's home. If you want to play this as a parlay, you can now use McNeil two plus RBIs in this spot. You're probably going to get a little bit better than 115 as well. But nice to cash our second ticket of the day here and get the single home. Producer Corey going with the Braves Giants under 8 for the game here. Braves Giants under 8 minus 118 for his single. Matt, where are you going with your double?
I'm going to go Orioles on the run line at plus 118. They get to bat in the top of the ninth for sure on that one. And so I will go ahead and take that again. Same handicap here. And we said those bats are waking up just a little bit over the last 2 weeks. Now, this is nothing that we're jumping up and down about. But when you figure how terrible they were right. for so long. So the last 2 weeks, they are 14th in baseball in weighted on base, which, again, they were literally in the bottom four for the first month and a half of the season. Like, it was just a horrible, horrible stretch for them. So, starting to swing it just a little bit better, and so maybe this can continue to parlay into scoring some runs.
14th, a lot better than, what, 29th?
Yes.
Yeah. So, let's take the improve. Yeah. Let's be positive here, Matt.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
And you know why we should be positive? Because I'm playing an RBI cycle here,
okay,
and I'm going to go with two Orioles inside that. Give me Jackson Holliday, plus one plus RBI, plus 185 today. Plus 185 on Jackson Holliday to get an RBI against, you mentioned it, a pretty bad Athletics team. Yeah. Lopez on the hill, 0-4, 7.2 ERA. Nice conditions to hit the baseball. How about Jackson Holliday hits the baseball? He hit it yesterday. Let's go for one plus RBI plus 185 for Jackson Holliday there. Producer Corey says, you know what, Mike? You're onto something. Give me Jackson Holliday three plus total bases here, plus 235 for his double. So he's in on the Jackson Holliday train for today.
Up in the ante there. My triple is going to be the Giants alt team total. I talked about this a little bit earlier. I'm going to go after Spencer Strider until I see the good version of Spencer Strider. And so over 5.5 on the alt line here is plus 290, so nearly 3-1 on this Giants team to score six runs. And like I said, it's just he very well might round into form. He is not there yet. Could today be the start where he looks more like himself? Sure, it could be. But until I see it with my own eyes, I'm going to continue to go in and bet these numbers that I think are a little bit inflated, because I think the algorithm is still pulling stuff from awesome Spencer Strider, unhittable Spencer Strider, and that has certainly not been him so far this season.
No, he mentioned the velocity drop, obviously a big issue for him with the lack of pitches there. Quick update here, the Twins go back-to-back jacks.
Ooh.
Francis take a 4-3 lead in the bottom of
there
the fourth.
There we go.
Back into the winner's side of that minus a half run there, first five. For my triple here, let's keep on this RBI train. Let's go with Brendan Nimmo, two plus RBIs for this Mets team. I want to play against the Rockies when they are at home with hitters in the 2-5 spots to get an RBI. Nimmo fits that bill. He's also lefty. Lefty's been crushing Dollinger. Give me Nimmo, two plus RBIs, plus 350. Over to producer Corey here. He wants a Tyler Ward dinger for his triple plus 370 there for Tyler Ward to go deep today, Matt.
I am going to head to the most prolific home run hitter of our of this generation right
Trent
now.
Grisham?
I'm going to go with Aaron Judge, but oh. I am going to go with Trent Grisham as well. Both of them, it's a little same game parlay here for Aaron Judge and Trent Grisham to go deep. You're getting 14 to 1 there on that one, Mike. And you go in and you look. Hunter Dobbins has not been terrible. He is not terrible, but he's about a fours guy, you know? And so if he's about a fours guy, Aaron Judge can hit anyone out of the park. But give me Grisham, who, by the way, just a ridiculous start to the season for Trent Grisham. He's been hitting very, very well for this Yankees team. A very pleasant surprise for them, which is one of the reasons why this offense has been as good as it had, getting the contributions from him. So again, 14 to 1, though, for both of them to hit a dinger.
Don't hate 14 to 1. I'm going to close it out here with Gunnar Henderson. 2+ RBIs, plus 350 okay. as well. So my triple and home run the same price. But if you put all these RBIs together, 8,631 on the plus side. So 86 to 1 here for McNeil, 1+ RBI, Holiday, 1+ RBI, Nemo, 2+ RBIs, and Gunnar Henderson, 2+ RBIs. Let's fade the Rockies. Let's fade the A's when they're at home. I think the other teams are going to get hits. Let's try and focus in on a couple guys.
Yeah.
Hit some player props there. Corey goes, you know what, Matt? I agree on Aaron Judge, too.
All right.
Like Corey's kind of he's a little bit simpatico
like
on some
like
of these.
It.
He's going Aaron Judge, 2+ RBIs here, plus 450. His parlay pays 159 to 1 if you want to go with that.
That's a good one.
Braves Giants under 8. Jackson Holiday, 3+ total bases.
That's a good one. That's a big one.
Tyler Ward Dinger and Aaron Judge with 2 RBIs.
That's a big one. How about this statistic right here over on the Twitter machine? I can give credit where credit's due because I have it pulled up. Bastian F-A-C-H-A-N,
can you give credit?
Whatever, yeah. Rafael Nadal was 22 years, 1 month, and 3 days old when he won his 5th Grand Slam. Okay?
Okay.
Carlos Alcaraz will be 22 years, 1 month, and 3 days old this coming Sunday.
Wow. That's crazy. Also crazy, it feels like Alcaraz has been in my life for 10 years.
Yeah.
It feels like he has accomplished so much at such a young age and cracked into the tennis scene at, what, 18? It's been 4 or 5 years we've had of Alcaraz in these majors already.
Yeah.
And he's just, he's awesome. He's only getting better. And you mentioned it. Having him and Sinner right around the same age, improving at the same time with different strengths from a court perspective as well. I think that always makes it interesting when you've got guys that are dominant on one side. Like Alcaraz, awesome on clay, right? Sinner, very good hard, very good grass. Like they are a very good hardcore player, very good grass player. So there are certain spots where like you're going to see this go back and forth. It's not going to be a just one-sided battle in a lot of situations.
So they did let Skeens go back out.
And it's gone really poorly?
No. Oh. No. 7 2/3, but for whatever reason.
Well, he gave up a hit, so you got to take him out.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Isn't that the logic?
Yes, yes. So they're going to pull him. I guess he walked someone. This must be what it is. So, yeah. I mean, you pull him out there, so he walks one guy, and then that's it?
And he gone.
And that's it?
And he gone.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyway, gotta, 7 2/3.
Skeen's just not very good, you
yeah.
know? You got to take him out.
7 2/3, 2 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks, and
zero
a,
earned.
A 1.88 ERA on the season for Paul Skeens, and he's not going to get the win.
Again.
Yes, again.
Again.
He's not going to get the win yet again. We talked about all of the stuff going on today at the track a little bit earlier in the show. We'll recap those bets here next segment. But if you want to bet along with us, firstbet.com, 1STBET.com. Go in, promo code VEASAN200. Get you a 20% rebate on all of your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. So again, go in, bet along with us at First Bet, 1STBET.com. VEASAN200 is your promo code.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final segment, Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Thank you for being with us here on a Sunday. Channel 158 over on Sirius YouTube TV, our VSiN Watch app, and terrestrial stations across this great country of ours. I see you flip a pen as if something did not go your way.
Brandon Nimmo hits a shot right up the middle, gets by the pitcher. They had the shift on. No.
Well, the
fake shift.
Yeah, the fake
the
shift.
The fake shift. He's standing right behind second base. I mean, like, once he gets by the pitcher, you think it's a ground ball single. There's runners on second and third. Would have had 2 RBIs for Nimmo. Plus 350. Would have been nice. Instead, we are ending the inning.
We are also counting down to the NBA Finals game tonight, sitting 11 everywhere except Caesars. Nope, Caesars and ESPN both are at 10.5. So 10.5 there, 11. So shop around depending on what number you want to get on that thing. 228.5 is the prevailing total out there, though there is 229 out here behind us. So I don't know if that will make its way across the national books out there, but 229 behind us out here at Circa.
Yeah, I mean, I lean toward the over, so I understand why we're seeing that 229 number start to tick up here. This was 228.5 yesterday. We got 229s in the market. 228.5 right now over at FanDuel. If I was going to play anything side or total in this game, I would play the over. I would lean toward the Thunder. I do have a bet. Give me over 120.5 team total on the Oklahoma City Thunder. We saw that game one of the Thunder and the Nuggets series be one of those close games, go down to the end. The Thunder end up losing it 121-119 at home. They come back and they drop 149 points on the Nuggets in game two. I think we're going to see a similar story here where you get the better version of this OKC offense, just 11 points off those 24 turnovers that they created last game. I think you're going to see OKC come out, roll, and go over their point total. Also love like the idea of trying to take that point total down to 110 and taking the game line down to 5. And playing them together at about even money.
Yeah, just kind of like a
little
we say,
alternate parlay.
Yeah, it's like we go in and like it's just, you know, we just it's like a deal where we tweak it just enough to
just
be a little bit more favorable for us. Yeah,
turn in some knobs, because I do think that if Oklahoma City covers, they're going over their team total. So again, if I'm playing Oklahoma City minus 11, I'm playing over, I'm parlaying that with over 120.5, because I don't see a world where they win by 12 points and they score 105?
Yeah.
Like 112? No.
That is where, that is one of the things I was going with here in this one as well, which is if you like them at 11, do you just play the team total and then not even worry about playing the 11, even playing the spread? Because like you said, so your handicap has to be
that
if they're going to cover 11, they're going to have to score, but maybe there is a world in which they score a ton and also the Pacers score a ton. So it's kind of like you're making, and we're saying kind of like, it's not the same bet, but the handicap has to be that they're going to score a ton to win by 11 points.
Yes.
In the game. And so I don't think that you're sitting here thinking they're going to grind out this thing and somehow win by 11 points. So for me, I would just take a little bit, in my opinion, you could disagree. In my opinion, I would take a little bit of the variance out of the 11 points, because again, in the games get weird, they hook up a three at the very end, you know what I'm saying, all the
end
stupid
of games
stuff.
Get weird in Pacers games,
you know what I'm saying?
No,
I mean,
way.
Like, it's like you're sitting there and they're up 13 and then they just give them a wide open three because they don't care. It takes a little bit of the variance out if you just play the Thunder team total over.
I agree. I mean, that's why, like I said, I would lean over, I would lean Thunder. I played over 120.5 for the Thunder tonight because I do think the team totals, the lane that you want to go in here. I think OKC would like to blow them out again. If I'm betting OKC minus 11, I am parlaying it with over 120.5.
Yeah.
Because I want to essentially just say, hey, I get a much better price on them covering 11, because there's a world, obviously, but that world is pretty small where they don't go over their team total and they cover.
So let's do some reviewing here, get to our G-Bank best bets. And of course, guys, we're going to have some horse racing talk here. Mike Somich is heading back to Saratoga, race 12 and race 13.
Yeah, we got two stakes races from the turf yesterday that were canceled and moved to today. So we got two grade ones happening here. We'll start in the grade one.
You know what? Can we explain this to people? Because I don't know if people know what a stakes race even means.
Sure. So there's different levels of horse racing. You start as a maiden. A maiden is a horse that's never won. Then you move up into allowance, and you have winners of one allowance, winners of two allowance. So essentially conditions to allow the horses to be at the same level as the people they are competing against. And as you move up the ladder, you go from allowance, then you can go into stakes company, then you go to graded stakes company, and then there's grade three, grade two, and grade one. So the best horses at what they do, their specific thing, and in this case, the Jiper is a 5.5 furlong turf sprint. So the best turf sprinters in America are in grade one races.
Okay.
So that's what we've got. We've got two grade ones, one turf sprinting, one going long on the turf here, race 11 and race 12. I'm sorry, race 12 and race 13. I'm going to start with race 12, the Jiper here. Give me the number 4, My Boy Prince. This is a horse that was going longer last year, cut back to a sprinting distance on the debut at the four-year-old year, and was absolutely awesome at Aqueduct. A horse that has tactical speed but can also come from off the pace, especially in these sprint divisions, because it is a horse that's got more stamina because of the longer runs early in the career. Love the 10-1 price. Give me my boy Prince here, the number four horse in Saratoga, race number 12. We'll fast forward one more race to the Manhattan. This is a race that's going a mile, and I believe it's a mile and three or mile and eighth or on the turf here today at Saratoga. Your favorite's going to be Spirit of St. Louis, a horse we've talked about quite a bit. He's been running on when we've been on the air. He's 5-2. I'm going to take a little bit of price with Carson's run here. Again, a younger horse, but one that's had success over this Saratoga turf course, and one that's had success with cut in the ground. What is cut in the ground? When a turf course is softer, the heels cut into the ground further in that turf, so you don't skip over it as much. A different style of horse will have an advantage in those type of races. We've seen Carson's run well in that spot before. We'll take a nice shot here with 12-1 in the 13th race at Saratoga.
A reminder, Dana Lane joined us a little bit earlier in the broadcast. He's going with Florida in the over in game number three over in the NHL finals. So just a reminder of what he is going with there. I really did play the Orioles this evening versus the A's. And I think if you want to add them on the run line as well, again, they are the visiting team, so you're going to get nine at-bats out of them in that ballpark, in which, like we said, not lighting the world on fire, but when you are literally one of the worst hitting teams in all of baseball to climb up to 14th in weighted base over the last 2 weeks is a very, very, very big improvement for this Orioles team. And again, we know the pedigree is there. We know that the players are good. They have just been underperforming. Maybe we're starting to see something come around here, Mike. Maybe this is where the Orioles, I think they probably dug themselves too big of a hole, but maybe this is where they start playing like the team that we thought that they were going to be heading into this season.
Yeah, I played the Orioles yesterday. That was fun. Played a couple guys to get RBIs on the Orioles yesterday. I liked them yesterday more than I like them today, but I would, if you gave me $100 and told me bet a side, I'd be betting the Orioles there as well. Give me Gunnar Henderson and Jackson Holliday both to get an RBI. You can get Gunnar Henderson right now plus 115, Jackson Holliday plus 185, like both of those prices in a game where I do think the Orioles are able to put up runs. Also a little interested in the over on this total, but did not play it. Going to go head-to-head with producer Corey here. Give me the over. Braves-Giants currently sitting at 8. I want to fade Spencer Strider until I see a good start. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Landon Rupp's numbers, the underlying numbers, not quite as good as the overlying ones. I like this Atlanta offense, so we'll go over 8 there, Braves and Giants as well.
I know everyone is wondering. Battle of the desk.
Of course.
The battle of the desk. I know everyone's wondering. Yes, the Pirates have taken a 2-1 lead on the Phillies.
Of course. Get him out of there, and all of a sudden the Pirates can score runs, right?
Oh, baby. I'm loving it.
Unbelievable.
I'm loving it. Of course, got a little alt team total there bet on the San Francisco Giants as well. Fading some Spencer Strider until he shows me otherwise. Show me the real Spencer Strider, and then I'll back off. But until I see that, I will go with what I think these numbers are a little bit inflated.
Good news, bad news. Mm-hmm. Tucker, probably not going to get another at-bat. 0-3, 2 walks. He will not get his RBI, so that's a loser. Good news, the Twins up 4-3 in the bottom of the fifth. Cash the Twins, minus a half run there, first five.
Yep. Guys, we're going to introduce you to the $500 trifecta. That is coming to you from GBank, First Bet, and VEASAN. So go in and open a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days. If you deposit and play through $1,000 over at First Bet, that will actually trigger the first leg of the trifecta here. You'll receive $200 in cash back rewards on your GBank Visa Signature card. And then First Bet is also going to give you a $100 deposit match. VEASAN completes the trifecta by giving you a VEASAN pro subscription as well. So VEASAN.com/GBank, VEASAN.com/G, BANK. It is a one-time promotion, and it's limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer, and it will not apply to converting existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. VEASAN.com/GBank. Are horses running fast?
They're not running yet. I'm obviously watching Saratoga today as well. It's been an okay day. Not a great day. Okay day. Had the winner in the last, which was nice.
What was the thing you were telling me was happening today?
Pick five carryover at Churchill Downs, the late pick five.
Is that still live or is that dead?
We're three races in. I just got knocked out.
Oh.
Yeah. 10-1 shot just knocked me out after I had an 8-1 in the first leg and a 3-1 in the second leg. So not happy over here on this side of the desk right now.
5.5 hours of tennis today over at Roland Garros. And with that, we have crowned the champion. It is Carlos Alcaraz. He gets it done over Jannik Sinner. Jannik Sinner had 3 match points in the fourth set. Alcaraz fights off all of those, goes and wins the 10-point tiebreaker in the fifth set. It was a phenomenal match. Maybe the greatest French Open final on the men's side of all time. We were able to take in a lot of it because it lasted so long, it was fun being on the desk for it, for sure.
Yeah, great day here. We've had some phenomenal college baseball. Louisville beats Miami. They advanced the College World Series. We got to see the Alcaraz Sinner match. That was great as well. Stick around here. Live Bet Sunday next. Cashing out. And don't forget, VSiN by the books tomorrow morning.
For Mike, I am Matt. Good luck on all your bets.